أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Day 2 of Ramadan 2019. We're looking at part 2 of the Quran. The surah number 2, chapter number 2. The cow, al-Baqarah, verse number 231. It's a little bit of a long verse, but please bear with me. I'll read the Arabic and then the English, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن أجلهن فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو سرحوهن بمعروف ولا تمسكوهن ضرارا لتعتدوا ومن يفعل ذلك فقد ظلم نفسه ولا تتخذوا آيات الله هزوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وما أنزل عليكم من الكتاب والحكمة يعظكم به واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله بكل شيء عليم. The English translation: if you divorce women and they arrive at the end of their waiting period, hold on to them with kindness, or release them with kindness, and do not hold on to them to hurt them, for you would exceed your limits. And if you do so, then you have oppressed yourself. And do not take my verses or rulings as a mockery, and remember my favors, or remember Allah's favors on you, and what He brought down on you of the book and wisdom. He admonishes you with it, and know that Allah is the knower of all things. So this ayah talks about relationships, and in particular the divorce between a husband and a wife, and the waiting period that happens after the divorce. So in Islam there is a particular waiting period, it's called the udda, that a woman needs to observe after the divorce. And it depends on whether the woman is pregnant or not, or she's in a state of menopause or not. But generally speaking, it's around a 3 month period, and during that waiting period, the woman is not allowed to enter into a different relationship and marry another person. Waiting periods are not specific to Islam. Even in Western societies, like for example here in Victoria, Australia, we have a requirement when you apply for a divorce to show that the relationship, that the parties have been separated for at least 12 months. And this is of course to show that there are irretrievable breakdown, there's an irretrievable breakdown in the marriage, and to prove that there is no likelihood of getting back together. In fact, there's also different rules depending on the situation of the marriage. So if the marriage is for less than 2 years, there's a requirement for counseling before the divorce can take place. And so in this situation, Islam looks at the divorce as requiring a cooling off period. During that cooling off period of 3 months, the parties have time to think about the relationship, think about what they're giving up, and see if there is an opportunity to go back to the relationship and work at it again. This ayah starts with placing an obligation on the husband at the end of that waiting period to make a decision for the best interest of both parties. It's really important to realize here that it is an obligation. It is not a right without conditions. It is a responsibility that the husband has to make sure, irrespective of the emotions involved and irrespective of how he feels and what anger and rage is going on within him, that the decision is made in the best interest of both parties. What is the decision to be made? Firstly, that decision to go back to the marriage and not to proceed with the divorce. This can only happen through kindness. The word used here in the Quran is ma'ruf. So you can only hold on to the relationship through this ma'ruf. Ma'ruf comes, it's a noun, and it comes from the root verb arafa. Arafa is knowing through pondering and thinking. It's more specific than knowledge. There is an element of intellectual sort of understanding in there. And so ma'ruf is a deed or an action known through the intellect and through Islamic rulings to be good and desired, and it is a level of ihsan and kindness. So when you are thinking about going back to the marriage, it must be done on the basis that it is best for both parties to do that, and it's done with kindness, and it's done with the interest of building on the relationship. The other option, apart from rebuilding the relationship, if that's not going to happen, then the decision is to let go, to release the wife, to proceed with the divorce. But that also has to be done with kindness. It has to be done with ma'ruf. It's the same word used for holding on to the relationship or for releasing and proceeding with the divorce. They both have to be done with a level of kindness that reflect forgiveness, transparency, clarity of the heart, and serenity. There is this sense of acknowledging that we were in a relationship and we need to act in the best interest of that relationship. So this is the first part of the ayah. The second part of the ayah talks about what happens when this obligation by the husband is not adhered to. And do not hold on to them to hurt them, for you would exceed your limits. And if you do so, then you have oppressed yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very firm about this obligation. If you can't, hold on to this relationship with kindness, if you're doing it out of revenge, if you're doing it to show your power over the woman, if you're doing it to degrade the woman, if you're doing it to prevent the woman from the right to build a happy relationship and proceed with her own life, and just, you know, put her in this dark place where she's neither here or there now, neither divorced nor married. She doesn't really have a proper husband who takes care of her and wants to build on this relationship. Then what you're doing is you're exceeding your boundaries. You're exceeding the boundaries of this obligation. And if you do so, you have not only hurt that person, you've not only hurt your wife, you've actually oppressed yourself. And the reason for this, in a number of exegeses, has been explained. Why is it that when you hurt your wife, you're actually hurting yourself? Why is it that when you hold on to your wife in a negative relationship and lacking in kindness, why is it also oppressing yourself? And it's very logical, because really, you know, if you're oppressing someone, if someone feels that their rights have been taken away from them, that they're forced into this relationship and that they haven't been treated well, there is no way to build a relationship on that. It will not be a peaceful relationship. It will not be a peaceful atmosphere. It will damage the family even further. Number two, in Islam, the husband and wife is seen as a unit. So when you hurt one part of that unit, when you're hurting the wife, you're hurting the full unit, you're hurting yourself as well. And thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many verses in the Quran, warns against abusing rights and against oppressing other people. There are serious punishments for this in this life and the hereafter. And by hurting the wife, by holding on to the marriage and, you know, and not releasing her when this should have happened, you're actually oppressing, being an oppressor and falling in the category of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare a severe punishment for. This also goes back to the days of Jahiliyyah, prior to Islam, where women were used in that way, and it was very common for people to do that, as I explained previously, that women who were in relationships were not able to exercise any rights, and men took it for granted that it's up to them to decide whether to divorce or not. And the attitude that the women basically have no role in this building of relationship, in this atmosphere of the home. It was completely up to the man to decide what to do with her, as if she's a piece of property that he can decide to release or not release. So Islam came to change that and provide a framework to work within. The third part of this verse goes to the other extreme, where it talks about making a joke out of God's rulings. And do not take my verses and rulings as a mockery, and remember the favors of Allah on you and what He brought down on you of the book and wisdom. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes a group of people who just didn't take marriage seriously. Again, in similar ways, they really didn't consider the relationship. It wasn't of any importance to them. Women in their lives weren't of any significance, and they were merely regarded as property. They dehumanized them. And so, you know, you would have situations where the male might say, "I'm going to divorce you," and they go ahead with the divorce, and towards the end of the period might change their mind and just say, "Oh, it was a joke. You know, I didn't mean it. I just wanted to see how you would feel about it. I just wanted to, you know, internally create a sense of anxiety in the woman." So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing that this is not a joke. This is a rule of law that has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a responsibility of utmost seriousness. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down His book and wisdom as a blessing to clarify the way for us, to make sure that we are able to have a healthy society through that healthy unit of family. And then He adds in the ayah, He, meaning Allah, admonishes with it. He admonishes with this ruling. He admonishes with His wisdom. He's giving a serious and firm warning with it, that if you don't hold on to that responsibility, you will be facing serious consequences. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers back to the husband and says, "You know that Allah is a knower of all things. He knows everything. He knows what's best for you. He knows what rules and responsibilities to impose on you. And He knows your intention and why you're doing things. No pretending, no being the good guy when you're actually trying to revenge. Allah knows what's inside your heart." So in this sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing clear framework for us to work with. The question there, though, in these situations is the practicalities and how these are applied in real life. So, for example, there are a number of scholars that suggest that if a husband refuses to divorce and holds on to the wife, refuses to release her through unkindness, through revenge, or through lack of providing a home for her on the basis of the ma'ruf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in this ayah, then this obligation that he has is taken away from him, and it falls within the rights of the judge to decide for the divorce to go ahead. It's no longer in his hands to decide whether to go ahead or not. I'm not going to delve into this. I don't have the knowledge or expertise to delve into it. I'm just focusing on the face of it in terms of the ayat and what they're talking about. Again, the application is a lot more complex. Inshallah, as believing men and believing women, our intentions are always pure. Our intentions are always stemming from a desire to elevate our faith and to act in the best way and to act releasing their responsibilities that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways. And may Allah salvage relationships and allow us to build on them and allow serenity and forgiveness and ihsan to be the basis of the relationships that we have with our husbands, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.